Hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience a true life, freedom, and Christ Jesus. The number 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. That basic gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and he certainly has something to say to each and every one of us, truth that will set us free. On today's blog post, I uploaded an article that was written by a good friend of mine and a good friend of the ministry, Frank Reed. Frank Reed is the morning talent on KLTY, the most listened to Christian station in America, right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But 2 weekends ago, the George Zimmerman verdict was rendered, and there's just this mad discussion on Facebook and Twitter and media and all of those sort of things. And Frank knew he needed to talk about that on the Monday morning edition of his program, and he really wrestled with what to say. And as he prayed about it, his mind really turned to his relationship with the Lord and a verdict that changed his life forever. And he wrote about that, and he and I talked over this weekend, and I had a chance to read it, and I asked him if I could post it on my blog site, and he said, sure, he'd be honored. And so I have done that. It is available right on our homepage, basicgospel.net. Certainly encourage you, our listeners, to go there. Take a read. I think you will be really encouraged, blessed, by reading what Frank had to say. And it's certainly a verdict that can change your life if it hasn't already changed your life. And I think you will find it fascinating. And again, that's at basicgospel.net. Other breaking news today around the world, Prince William and Kate had a son, I think maybe 30 minutes ago or something, maybe a little bit longer.
Recently, but he travels fast.
8 pounds, 6 ounces. Don't know what the name is, but baby watch has ended for those of you who have been on the edge of your seat waiting for that time. And it's interesting when you think about it. Here's a baby born into a royal family. What does that mean? What does it mean that he's born into a royal family? Just by nature of his birth, he will one day sit as King of England. It's quite interesting, isn't it? And what does that mean? Well, he will rule in some way. I think the royal family, their role is less today than what it was as far as a ruling family, but it's still there. Well, here's the reality. Those of us who have been born again into the family of God, we have become a royal priesthood. God has given us the opportunity to rule, and that will take place when he comes back. We're going to rule with him. But right now, we're a part of that kingdom. We're a part of that freedom that he has brought to each and every one of us through his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness that we experience in this gospel message. So if you're a child of God, you are part of that royal priesthood. You are part of a royal line that will be shown forth as that at a day sometime in the future. And that is just fantastic news.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We want you to really join us and be a part of the broadcast. That toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Good across the country, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. Give us a call. In the meantime, from Daniel in Denver, says, our friends and relatives who are involved with apostate churches, such as LD Saints, Latter-day Saints, and others that have added to the Word, since they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are they still saved?
Interesting question. I don't know that I would call that an apostate church as much as a cult-like church. And a lot of people out there will hear that and they will shriek and say, "You mean you're calling the Mormon Church a cult?" And well, here's the reason for that. When Joseph Smith started contemplating, spirituality and what was truth and those sort of things, he came to a point and rejected Christianity. He rejected what the Word of God had to say about Jesus, and he came up with something on his own, which became Mormonism. He wrote a book, and he had this story all about it. But Mormonism started as a rejection of Jesus Christ as declared in the Word of God, the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus became one of us, took away our sins. He rejected that. And he came up with his own brand of religion, American-made, basically. And it's been around for, you know, a couple of hundred years, or not quite that long. But it grew out of a rejection of Christianity. So it's not based on Christianity. It's based on a rejection of Christianity and Joseph Smith's new interpretation of what religion should be. So those that are a part of it, they have rejected Christ as Lord and Savior, and they've looked at him as an example. He is an example to follow. And just as he kind of climbed the ladder of spirituality and deified himself through good efforts, then they follow that pattern, and hopefully they will rise to the same level, to the same status. That's what Mormonism is all about. So you can't be saved believing that to be true. You just can't be saved. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, you don't need to be saved. You are given the tools, the equipment. You just have to go out and perform. It's totally works-based, mm-hmm. quote, salvation.
Yeah.
And there's no salvation there. So.
Right, absolutely. 1-800-677-9377. Lots of open lines, plenty of time. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk to Karen, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'm really uncomfortable, but I have to reach out. You know, I came born again about 13 years ago, and I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I've had a few relapses over the years, and I'm a heavy smoker and all that. I really made a mess of my life. Now I'm in my 50s. And can you lose your salvation?
Well, no, you can't lose your salvation. I mean, God saved you completely, Karen. He didn't.
Well, then why am I screwing up? It's almost like I'm serving the other one. Low self-worth, and people keep telling me, how can you have low self-worth when you've been adopted into the family of Christ?
Well, I think, Karen, it's because you're viewing your self-image through your failures or mistakes.
You've got to be pretty stupid to be a Christian and then do sinful things like that. I'm really getting angry at myself and even God because, you know, I've heard either on your station or someone else's that, you know, maybe you're not praying right. Maybe you need to, I hear the fellows calling a lot saying I'm a Christian and I have lust issues. I'm hooked on pornography. So I know I'm not unique, that I'm a sinner. But to take it to such an extreme, you know, it's like I've been asking God to have mercy on me. I to please forgive me and,
well, Karen,
and help me to be willing.
Let's just go ahead and answer that. He's had mercy upon you, and he did so through Jesus. I mean, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for you was an extension of his mercy into your life. If you receive Christ, which you say you have, which you say you did 13 years ago, you've received the mercy of God. And when you receive that mercy, you receive forgiveness. Jesus didn't die for just some of your sins. He died for all of them. And his blood was sufficient to take every single one of them away. And his death on the cross was sufficient to pay the entire penalty for all of your sins. Not just some of them, Karen, but all of them. So,
well, sure, he's not pleased that I've, you know, screwed up like this.
Well, he's...
I think I have hidden anger toward God. I see what's going on in the world, and that's so ignorant because everything's happening for a reason. You know, I can't listen to the stations that talk about the end of times because I'm 56. I feel like, well, I don't have enough time to repent and, you know, get my act together. I feel like any minute he's going to come. So I can't listen to those stations. But I don't know how I know this, but I know we are in the last days. I just know it.
Well, Karen, it certainly feels that way, for sure, based on what's happening.
Oh, I see all the signs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Based on what's happening in the world, it's You know, it could be tomorrow, it seems like.
He keeps using fear on me, the enemy. He knows exactly what my weaknesses are.
So here's the deal. Why listen? Why listen to the enemy?
Right.
You know he's an enemy, right?
Right.
He's the accuser. He's going to accuse you all the time. And if you listen to him, then you're going to start to see yourself through his eyes rather than seeing yourself through God's eyes.
I think that's what I've been doing. You just hit the nail on the head. And another quick question. What is the 23rd Psalm when it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil"? Are we going to go through a negative experience when we first pass on? What does it mean by the shadow of the valley of death?
Well, that's the world that we live in, I mean, basically. This world is headed in the wrong direction. We've been rescued out of this world through faith in Jesus Christ. And as we walk through that, I mean, as we live our lives in this world, we're going to be hit upon on every side by the enemy. But our trust has to continue to be in the Lord. Our eyes need to be in his direction, focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, or the perfecter of our faith. So,
I think that's Psalms what... Doesn't Psalms mean when we pass away? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means here now?
That...
I will fear no evil?
That's right. You're not going to have evil after you die. You're going to
I guess I interpret it as when you pass away, you go through a dark period, and then Christ comes. I didn't know what it meant. Okay.
Karen, if you're in the Lord, when you die, you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So you're going to go into
his
presence. And also
in the Bible, it talks about, where are the dead people now?
Well,
often you hear people say, oh, they're in heaven. But the Bible says in one part that he'll come back and judge the living and the dead. So where are the dead people now?
Well, those who are in Christ are with Christ.
Oh, already?
Yes, they are with Christ, but he's going to come back, and there's going to be this resurrection of the body. You know, when somebody dies, you know that they're the person that occupied that body isn't there anymore. So you have to ask.
Do they mean dead in spirit or dead physically?
Well, when somebody dies physically, they go to be with the Lord, and at a point in time, their body is going to be raised. Karen, let me address one other thing for you. Like I said, you're identifying yourself through what your enemy is saying about you rather than what God is saying about you. There's also another issue here, Karen, that's real important. I think it's real important for you to grasp hold of. When you were born again, that was a spiritual regeneration. Your body stayed the same, didn't it? And
yeah.
your body has flesh, and within that flesh is sin. So if your flesh has been tempted and satisfied, quote, satisfied in a particular way, it's always going to want to be satisfied in that way. It gets addicted to those things. Your flesh does, and your body, you know, follow suit. So if you've put alcohol and that satisfied an element of the flesh is always going to cry out for more alcohol. The flesh is always going to cry out for more cigarettes. The flesh is always going to cry out for more and more and more of whatever it was that it made you take hold of. So the fact that your flesh still wants alcohol shouldn't surprise you. But that's not who you are.
Right.
You're not your flesh. You're a child of the living God. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. The Spirit of God will lead you in a different direction. The Spirit of God will teach you how to say no to those desires of the flesh by saying yes to the desires of the Spirit. So, Karen, those are two important things for you to grab hold of, and when you do, I think you'll experience some freedom that you've never experienced before. Let me do this. We've got some wonderful resources. I want to put those in your hands. I think they will be invaluable to you in your walk with the Lord, okay?
Okay.
Well, hold on, Karen. We'll get those to you.
Thank you.
And, guys, speaking of the special resources, the special resource that we're making available to our listeners for only a short time longer is entitled Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide that can expose the phony stuff that many times turns people away from Christianity. Gateway to Grace can open the door for you and others around you, and you can experience the reality of God's love and grace through listening and through studying. And for a gift to Basic Gospel this month, a gift of any amount, we'll send you this excellent series and study guide. Just go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks. We're going to go back to Orange, New Jersey, and talk with Daisy listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
I just want you to answer one question. Where in the Bible, where in the Bible God talks about homosexuality? In the Christian world, I know we're saved, but isn't that a sin against the Lord?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says this: "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So there's the way of the world, a philosophy that is against Christ, that is against God, a philosophy that's based on our independence from God, us being able to do what we want, when we want, how we want to do it. And the result of that philosophy is sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, male prostitution, homosexuality, thievery, greed, drunkenness, slander, swindling. All of that stuff is the result of being lost, being separated from the life of God. Those are the fruits of a lost world. But we get rescued from that by Jesus Christ, by the fact that he washes us clean, by the fact that he sets us apart from that old way of life so that we could experience a new life, and the fact that he justifies us, declares us righteous in his sight in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So Jesus Christ does a work inside of us. He sets us free from sin and death so that we can experience new life in him. So part of that life of sin and death manifests itself in that list of things that I read to you.
I read that, but I want to know, can you be a child of God saved and still be a homosexual?
Well, you can't have two identities, Daisy. That's the whole point. You can't.
Because it bothers me, you know, and I am saved. I am a child of God. I love them, but I don't. Well, I can't accept their lifestyle. Does that take away from me as a child of God?
Well, do you like adultery and what it does, you know, to families and children and that sort of thing?
No.
No. Do you like slander? Do you like hearing slander? Evil talk about people, which, you know, the world engages in and we engage in. Do you like seeing what alcohol does to people, how it really messes up their lives, and both individually and with those that they, are engaged with? So you see, sin, it's, you know, we look at it as a violation of the law, and certainly that is a definition. Sin is a transgression of the law.
You can turn away from sin. Yeah.
But
right?
We can turn away from sin. But grace of God teaches us to say.
If you're homosexual, they have no. Basically, most of them think it's all right. But in the Bible, where I read, God made male and female. He didn't make anything in between.
That's right.
If you're a man, he created you to be a man. If you are a woman, he created you to be a woman. Society thinks that you're homosexual, that it's okay, and we can accept it. I don't know. I call because it bothers me, and I love them. I have some in my family.
Well, Daisy, here's the deal. I want you to start looking beyond what you consider the sin, okay? And look at a person the way God does. And here's the way God sees people. They're either lost in need of salvation or they are saved and children of God. So if you will start seeing people from those two perspectives, because that's how God sees them, it will change the very way that you deal with individuals. You know, because to every person, regardless of the sin on the outside, the sins that they are committing, we can say to them that God doesn't count that against you. He has something more for you in the person of Christ Jesus. He has new life. He has eternal life. He has hope. He has forgiveness. He has mercy. He has freedom that you can experience. And so look at folks from that perspective. That will change everything for you as far as your ability to communicate, as far as your ability to connect and really talk about the important issue. And the important issue is not that somebody sins. It's the fact that they're dead spiritually and they need life. That's the real problem with man. And when we understand what the real problem with man is, then we know why the gospel message is truly the solution, why Jesus had to be raised from the dead so that we too could be raised spiritually so that we could experience new life. Well, Daisy, sure appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you this this resource as well, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Daisy. Thanks for your call, and God bless you, okay? Hold on.
Thank you and bless you.
Thanks, Daisy. Well, a quick question as we near the end of the broadcast. This is from Jeff, and he asked about Paul and what he was talking about in 1 Corinthians 9:27 when he feared being disqualified, and also the letters to the churches in the Revelation. Why does God spew us out of his mouth? That's from Jeff, who emailed the question to us.
Just simple questions to answer,
yes,
right there.
Yes.
Richard, what about not being or not wanting to be disqualified? What in the world is Paul talking about there? Is that about salvation?
No, it's not about salvation. What he would be concerned with is that somehow his ministry would lose its power, would lose any sense of rightness because he had run off the tracks somehow. He wanted to keep straight on the pure gospel of Jesus Christ with nothing else getting in the way.
That was his task.
That was
and
his task.
That's what he wanted to do, to end strong with testifying to the grace of God.
Yes.
And that is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to vary from that at all. And there's so much out there in the world that can pull us away. I mean, so many interesting things. But when you strip it all down, the thing that is of most importance is this gospel message.
Yes.
The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changed the world 2,000 years ago. It changes us when we encounter that gospel message, not only for now, but for eternity. So this gospel message is of most importance to God, and since it's that way to God, it should be of most importance to us.
And that's why we say thanks to every one of you who support Basic Gospel with your giving, to keep us on the air every day. For your generous gift this month, we say thank you by sending our newest CD series, Gateway to Grace. It's made up of 6 messages and a study guide to help you see the truth about many of our traditional religious beliefs and practices and allow you to see the truth that of the way that they affect your life every day, each and every day. This month, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, we'll send you Gateway to Grace. To complete your gift and make your request, simply visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Social media, a very effective way to let others know what you're thinking. And we think also that you should like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. That would be a very good thing. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying so long for now. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.